speed. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, hello, this is Moe of the Black Game. Welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. Again, the music did not play. That's okay. Like I said, I think that's an omen that I need to find myself some new music. Not find it, but actually listen. So how are you today? You know, I have music. I actually have it queued up. I don't know why it didn't play. Let me see if I can get it to play. Maybe I can't hear it. Oh, wait. Maybe it was playing. I think I had it playing. Or maybe I didn't have it playing. I don't know. It's been a hectic day. I've had a hectic time. Welcome. Today is the 6th of November, 2024. Oh, what confusion in my mind. Let me tell you what's been going on. There are some obvious things that have been going on, but one of the less obvious things, or least obvious things, or one of the things that isn't as obvious as others, is that our beautiful dog, Coco Bean, was spayed a week ago tomorrow. And so we have been dealing with that. And you know what they say, don't let that dog jump. Don't let that dog run. And, oh, God, have you ever tried to saddle up a tornado? Well, that's what a lot of that has been. That's what our life has been. So that's kind of how it's been. So, oh, my goodness gracious. How have you all been? You been all right? I've been all right. Just been, the last few nights have been tough. She had stress-related, well, I'm not going to use the word, but, you know, it's one of those things where you have to go all the time, and it's usually 1 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. And we got snow yesterday. It started at night about, I think it started about 6, and it went all night long, and it's the first time she ever saw snow. Now, have you ever seen a puppy the first time that dog has ever seen snow? Oh, my goodness. That dog wants to play and play and play and play. All right, let's get down to it, shall we? I know why you're here. I made some predictions. A prediction at the beginning of the year, and I made a prediction just a couple of weeks ago. I looked at charts, and I did look at those charts, and I predicted that Kamala Harris would win the presidency. And, well, I was wrong. It happens. I'm human. I'm fallible. I wish I were infallible. I wouldn't have gotten married the first time around, but then I wouldn't have my two wonderful kids and 5 grandchildren. But, yeah, I looked at the charts. I would like you, if you're an astrologer, look at those two charts. Look at them. See what you think. You might come to the same conclusion I did. And I think history is going to bear out some things. I'm not going to say too much more. But, in fact, I don't know. It's one of those things that happens. We look at charts. We look at things. Maybe our own feelings are in on there. I have to admit, I was not a fan of the winner. That doesn't mean that at the end of 16 years, I won't be a fan of his, 16-year run. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We're going to talk today about feelings, about how to do this, how to get through it. We've been through 4. And then we had some time off, and now we're back to it. So I'd like to talk about it. I'm kind of okay. Not everybody is. I've had some discussions. And you have to realize something, right? And that is that a majority of the people in this country thought to themselves, this guy, is the guy I want. And the way I look at it is that a lot of people said, well, I can't vote for a woman, which breaks my heart. and breaks my spirit a little bit, because I think a woman is highly capable. I've known lots and lots of women in my life, and more women are highly capable than me. I am not always that highly capable. As a matter of fact, I do what I do, and I still maintain I do it pretty well. I think history is going to bear out some things, but that's neither here nor there. And this is the democracy that we live in, and in that democracy we have a peaceful exchange of power, and it was done well, and I think it was done properly. And c'est la vie, and c'est dommage, as a matter of fact. But that's how it goes. And we'll see what happens. We'll see how it works out in the next few months, and in the next year, and in the next 4. We'll see what happens. I'm not gonna make any more prognostications on this whole thing. I'm gonna keep my mouth shut. But I want to talk about what to do next. So you say to yourself, all right, here we are. There's a majority of people who believe that a man who has 34 felony convictions, right, is going to be elected to the presidency. And that's a first. That is an absolute first. And, we have to say, okay, well, good luck, man. Good luck. I hope you do a wonderful job, because this country needs a wonderful job. It needs this this boost. And really, good luck to you. And good luck. May you do the best for the United States of America, and the very, 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 very best that you can do, because that's what this country needs. That's what we need. And this majority of people didn't think the way that perhaps you thought. If your guy won, I congratulate you. And I hope that you are happy as a lamb in areas that lambs like. You know, I really do. I hope that you are just as happy as can be. If your person didn't win, if Kamala didn't win, well, Kamala, if you were for Kamala, then you're probably feeling like the rest of us who were behind her and saying, what the heck, man? But that's the way it went. That's the way it went. And we have to face the reality of this situation, which is things could change drastically. I'm hoping they don't. I'm hoping they don't. But chances are there will be some changes. There's already been some talk. And that's all it is at this point. So I think what we have to do is adopt an attitude. And that attitude is, we have to look at things the best way we can and just say, far out, this is the way it is. I'm not going to just adopt a doomsday attitude. That's not who I am. I've been that way in my life. Man, back in the 60s, there was a lot of doomsday. Back in the 60s, things were pretty tough. Back in the 70s, things were pretty tough. It wasn't all, far out, man. You know, it wasn't like that. There was some of that. But the sum of that was escapism. We had a lot of escapism, because what was on the other side of that was things like the John Birch Society, and things like the KKK was pretty prevalent, even in Colorado where I lived. Especially in Colorado where I lived, it was a big KKK outlet. Still is, by the way. I just throw that in. There are things in this world that can be harsh. And I think it's important for us to say, okay, I acknowledge this, but we have to live our lives. And I'm really a big proponent of that, of saying, okay, let's go on, let's move on, let's live our lives. A lot of people I know on Facebook were like, bleh. And with good reason. It was such high hopes and such optimism and joy. And that joy was dashed to the ground, you know? But we can't lose sight of the fact that the majority, if things were the way they seemed, that the majority of the people said in this country who voted said, nah, you know, I know what this guy's about. I've listened to his rhetoric, and I've listened to his threats, and I've listened to his, you know, and I've watched his antics. But that notwithstanding, I think that he's the guy that I want to be the president of the country. So we have to sit back and say, maybe they know something I don't know. They elected a supposed billionaire, and they elected these people, even though people who know him very well came out and said he's not the guy for this job. They elected him anyway. They ignored all of this stuff that we chose not to ignore. So at this point, all we can really do is say, okay. Now, people with a lot of money, like certain movie stars and stuff, they're packing their bags. They're saying, I'm leaving. I'm moving to London, or I'm moving to Greece, or I'm moving here or there. Well, I can't do that. I'm guessing you can't do that either. Man, if I could, I'd go visit my uncle, my dad's brother in Egypt, whom I love very, very much. And he's in his late 80s, early 90s. I guess he's in his 90s. I'd love to see him again. I haven't seen him since I was 7 years old. He's a lovely man, and it reminds me a lot of my dad. And so that would be great. And I'd say, can I stay for 4 years? but that's just not in my ability to do. So I will make the best of it. And I think that that's the key to what's coming up. Yeah, I was wrong. And I'm more than delighted. Not delighted, it doesn't delight me, but I would love for things to go on differently. But I am more than willing to say, yeah, I've screwed up. I looked at things wrongly. Actually, I looked at them exactly the way I would do it again. I would look at it and say, you know what? This is what I see. Her chart looked a lot like her birth chart, and to me it looked like a rebirth. Now maybe that's what's going to happen. Maybe she is being reborn by this. Maybe she is saying, great honk. I went at this and it wasn't quite, I'm reborn today. I'm, whoo-wee, this is different. Maybe she'll run again and win. I hope so. I hope she doesn't, toss in the towel. I think she's a pretty special person. I really do. I think she's more than capable. I think she can do the job. So someone's got to get in there. And we have to have a woman president sometime. But for a lot of people of this nation, it was just too much of a threat. As it was with Hillary Clinton, it's just too much of a threat for a woman to be the president of the United States. And that's a sorry state of affairs. It really is a sorry state of affairs. That really bothers me. Other countries have had women monarchs and presidents and chancellors and, you name it. They've had it. Golda Meir was a very powerful person with the state of Israel. And look, man, she was good at what she did. We're just talking a lot of stuff here. And the race card, that certainly was part of it too. And the daughter of immigrants, that had to have something to do with it. I really believe that a time had come when we could overlook that stuff. But I could, and you could if you were for her. And those of you who weren't for her, you know then maybe how it worked out. But we really do. I don't think that feeling depressed, depression is okay. Yeah, you have to deal with that. But there are a lot of people who are thinking very dark thoughts. And I'm thinking, man, don't do that. Don't think dark thoughts, because this is our life. We have to deal with the reality of this. He has faced his day in court. He was supposed to pay out to E.J. Carroll a ton of money. And every time he said something about it, they tack on another few million dollars, And none of it's been paid yet. And who knows what's going to happen now? He's made a lot of threats to people. As soon as I get into office, boom, this is going to happen. Boom, that's. So now we have to see what's going to occur. Now, I'm going to ask you to not be afraid. First of all, unless you're on that list, I don't think you have a whole lot to worry about. And I don't think that this guy wants to be seen as a tyrant. I think he likes people being afraid of him, but this is a time for him to, he said last night, I want to heal the country. Well, one way not to do that is to start, pulling out the old enemies list and start, taking advantage of that. I'm hoping that there will be some benevolence there, some show of, okay, let's try and not be this, this supervillain from a Marvel comic movie or a DC comic thing. Let's try and show this. I'm really not sure what's going to happen. But we are so far removed from that I think we can kind of just sit back and say, okay, let's see what occurs. Okay? We have to live our lives. I'll say that again. You and I have to live our lives. And we have to just kind of sit back and say, now I'm going to watch. I was a historian in college. I loved history. And I've enjoyed this whole process until last night. Because I really thought I was going to go a different way. And when I saw that it wasn't, I thought, okay, how did this happen? And I realized that it had to do with people. It didn't have to do with him. It didn't have to do with her. It had to do with people. That's what it had to do with. It had to do with the people. So somewhere along the line, the people of this country, they made their minds up that this was the route that they wanted to go. And that's where we have got to think about things. You and I know what we know. They know what they know. That's the point. I'm thinking about things. I'm trying to think about how these things happen. I know what I feel. You know what you feel. But I can't quite connect with everybody else. Someone said it was the revenge of the working class. And I'm thinking, well, how does he connect with the working class? He's a billionaire. His friends are billionaires. I'm not sure quite how that... So I'm thinking about that a lot. I really am. But in the meantime, I'm not going to sweat it, unless I end up in a camp somewhere, then it's like, oh. But I just don't see that happening. Maybe it will. All right. But in the meantime, we have to live our lives. And we have to be certain to do that. Sweating it out, being nervous, being depressed is not going to benefit any of us. It's going to be all right. All right? It's going to be all right. Trust me. Trust me. The mood at my house this morning was not very nice. It wasn't very good. It was not a happy morning. My wife was not in a good mood. She was about as low as I have seen her just about ever. Okay? I'm not kidding you. Maybe the first time around, too. But I just thought to myself, it's done. It's done. It was like... the first time I cut a roast the wrong way, she was real upset with me, when we were first together. And she said, okay, carve the roast. And I carved it the wrong way. And it was like, I'm sorry, I didn't know that because I'd never carved, a roast. I had never done that. It wasn't something I was knowledgeable about. There's a lot I'm not knowledgeable about. It's funny in these arts of ours that we astrologers do and we tarot readers and all that. There is that part of us that, you get it wrong. And you think to yourself, okay, was it me? Was I right? Was I wrong? And you question yourself. There are times when you get it right and you can't do anything about it. It just happens anyway. I'm going to watch history on this one. I really am. Because, and everything I saw. Nope. Not going to talk about that. It's not worth talking about. Like I said, history will bear this one out. It's a fascinating story, to be sure. But let's go on with our lives. And I think part of the way to do that, one of the ways to do that, is to just say, okay, what is it about this country? What has changed? Is it the media? What is it that has made people so callous that knowing what they knew or what they know about him, that they could elect him? I think they liked it. I really do. I think it was an enjoyable aspect. It was like, I think that's part of it. I truly do. That there was a part of it, and why would we do that? Now, I should stop talking about this. It's about us, not about that. So what is the difference between you and me and the other people? And we're not that we're better than. It's just maybe we're different than. And what is it that we're going to do in our lives to get us through? Because I think there are going to be some repercussions. Not from the powers that be, but just from the changes that are coming. Because undoubtedly there will be some changes. I just think it's natural that there will be some changes. For example, just to pick one topic, women's rights. Women's rights have changed. Women's rights have changed. And it doesn't seem like that is going to be something that's going to transition anytime soon. So I'm not a woman, but I love women. I have women in my life who are directly affected by this. And it scares me for them. And I have been directly involved in my life with this topic. And it confounds me that this is something that has popped up in this time, and that there are women who are being affected right now. And you say, okay, so how are they going to deal with this? Well, there will have to be a way to deal with it. And I'm sure that there will be solutions that come along. See, that's the thing about people. And this was a problem back in my day. It was something that it was back then. It was there. And we're seeing a diminishing of certain rights. And that was something that was back there. So what we're seeing is kind of a renewed struggle for civil rights. Maybe that's what all this is about. Maybe that's what all of this is about, a sort of a renewal of the old days. Not a throwback to the old, Maybe it's a time of awakening for people to say what's important to us. Maybe we got a little bit too complacent. Maybe we were too asleep at the wheel, so to speak. Yeah. And maybe what it is for us to say, what is important in my life? And this doesn't mean we need to become, politically outspoken or, hit the streets and raise our fists and our flags and our, let our freak flags fly, although I've been doing that my whole life, in one form or another. Maybe what this is to say that we are alive. We are alive and we are vibrant. And we are still here. We are still here. There was I follow these groups on Facebook, 60s, 70s, where someone made fun of that whole hippie thing and the whole peace, love, and, that sort of thing. And I said, hey, I believed in all that sincerely from the heart. And I still do. I believe in the concept of peace and love. And I don't see anything wrong with that. And I wrote that and said I believed in it then, and I believe in it now. And like two or three people out of 10,000 or something agreed with me. And everyone else had kind of soured on it. And I thought, I don't care if you don't believe in it or not. It doesn't take but a couple of people in the world to believe in such a thing. It's when it's doused completely that we're in trouble. And I think that's what makes us who we are. That's what makes us who we are, you and me. We are the believers in love, and we are the believers in peace, and we are the ones who hope, and we are the ones who find joy in the simple things in life, like watching a tree in the fall, day by day as it changes, and seeing the beauty in every aspect of it as it loses its leaves, and as it changes colors, and as it's completely nude in the winter. You know, we can still see the beauty in a tree that has lost all its foliage and say, look at the miracle of that tree. See, and there is something to be learned in all of this. I'm not one who sees a reason for everything. Now, my wife believes that there's a reason for everything, and I've never been that person. But I do see a lesson in everything, if you search. There's a lesson for everything. But you have to look for it. And I believe that there is goodness in just about everything. Now, some things are just rotten to the core, you know. But fruit rots. It has to rot so that the seeds can become available. And the smell of rotting fruit draws creatures to it so that they can nibble on it or spread its seed. So something is happening now, something that is very, very important. And far be it from me to pretend to understand exactly what it is, like the concept of karma. Karma is a word that is used over and over and over and over and over again. And I've told this story many times that I was talking to a gentleman, and he was a Hindu and he was Indian. And I said to him something about karma, and he said, wait, I'm not going to do the accent. I'm not going to insult everybody. But he was saying, you know, please don't talk to me about karma, because karma is a very complicated concept. He said, karma, you don't know karma. And I said, do you? He said, no, I don't understand the concept. I understand the concept, but I don't understand true karma. Karma is not the golden rule. Karma is not something that is easily understood. It is the most complicated thing in the world. He said, karma is very, very amazing. So the worst thing in the world can happen to you, but that can be good karma, because it sets up something that is important for you. And it may not feel good. It may not be good in this life, for example, but it's something that had to happen to cleanse something or to prepare you for something. He said entire countries have karma. Entire continents have karma. You don't understand karma. And we talked for quite a while, and I was really completely blown away by this. And I was like, far out, you know? And so we don't understand the whole idea of real karma. I learned so much from him. And he thought me such an idiot. And I was quite, frankly, I was an idiot, but I was quite pleased to be an idiot at that moment and to learn all that information from him, because it clarified how little I knew about this concept of karma. There is umbrella karma, you know? So, for example, each one of us who lives in a country is under the umbrella karma of that country. Every one of us who works for a company is under the umbrella karma of that company. I mean, it's just a phenomenal idea. And so, who knows what's going on? Who knows? Have you ever stopped to think that this country has karma from the dropping of the atomic bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima? Yeah. I mean, have we paid that off? How about Vietnam? How about this? How about that? How about the good stuff we've done? Have we built good karma? Sure we have. But do we understand that concept in reality? So I'm just saying, I always like to think that there's always a lesson from everything that happens. And it's up to us to learn that lesson, but to look for it too. To look for the lesson. Look for the lesson. Don't just try and say, oh, well, here's the reason for this. You know, there's a reason for everything. I don't say that. I say, what is the lesson for me to learn? And I really, really, really do try and look for that. You see, I really do. I try and find the reason for that. Reason is important for me in everything. Try and find the reason, or the lesson rather, not the reason. I'd much rather find a lesson. That's important, you know. What's reasoning? You know, I don't pretend to know the mind of the universe. I don't pretend to understand any of that stuff. So, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be like a fool. That's the fool in Tarot. You see, the fool in Tarot is simple. But in his simplicity, he's brilliant. You know, the fool in old timey places was the only one in the court who could speak his mind, his or her mind, openly, honestly, without getting his or her head chopped off, or whatever the case may be. They spoke the truth. Now, we may not always be in a situation where we can speak the truth. I remember once I spoke the truth, and it was the beginning of the end with me and an employer. You know, it was just an offhand remark. But I also knew that would be the case. You can't always speak the truth. But you generally know when that is, don't you? You generally know when that is. But the fool is incredibly powerful because the fool is not afraid of honesty. Now, it doesn't always mean you have to speak that truth, but you must be able to understand it and be able to know it. Doesn't mean you have to speak it. Does that make sense? The fool in Tarot is an encoded message. And that message is one of power. The power to see the truth and then to act anyway. So maybe there is something there. I'm not saying that these people who saw the truth and then, but what were they looking for? See, I'm trying to find reason. Nah. And I'm not looking for reason. I'm looking for a lesson. Well, maybe you want to play the game too. Play the at-home game. But I'm going to live my life in joy, because that's what the fool does. The fool is air in Tarot, the element of air. That's also important. Air. Air is wind. Air is thought. Right? It can't be really easily defined. Air is the mind. So I think it's important for us to always be open to ideas. I have a relative who is a major Trump fan and has been from the very beginning. Believed everything he said. It cost him severely. But, you know, we haven't talked because, well, we never talked politics after the one meltdown I had. Which was, by the way, premeditated. I knew what I was doing. But I just said to myself, I don't want to talk politics anymore with him about this. And so I had a very, you know, deliberate yelling, you know. But so the point is this, is that aren't we sick and tired of feeling stressed? Let's let other people stress. Let's be like the fool, you see. Let us live on the breeze. What's that old song? I'm just floating along with the breeze. That's the fool. And the fool is not an idiot. Not by any stretch of the imagination. As a matter of fact, the fool looks around and sees the foibles of others. The fool looks around and sees and laughs and sees the ridiculous things that others are doing, knowing what they're doing. Sure, we're going to look around and say, oh my God, again with this? And yes, there could be some very scary times. But we have to, you see, and there's that old saying, when in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. But we must not get caught up in that. Because more than ever, we have to be able to just sit back and go, okay. So we have to find our happiness in our lives. How to be happy? Well, we have to be sure of ourselves. And that means knowing ourselves. And that means not getting caught up in the hype. Not getting caught up in the fear-mongering, which there's going to be an awful lot of. And staying informed, if you want to stay informed. Not watching it if you don't want to watch it. I will watch it. Because I like to watch it. I will stay informed because I believe in that. But for the most part, see, I know that I will be alone in that decision. I'll read probably the news feeds because things just absolutely amaze me. I'm amazed by the things that people do. But at a certain point, I get saturated. Just absolutely. I do my crossword puzzle. You know, I just think, okay, let me read some of this. I like to look at cooking stuff. Say, oh, see if, you know, okay, there's a new sandwich that someone's selling. Oh, that's pretty good. And then I get to the nitty-gritty and I go, so-and-so said that? And then I'm kind of over it. But what about you? What are you doing for you? How are you improving your life? Are you studying anything? Do you do tarot? Do you work with the cards? Do you study astrology? Have you picked up anyone's palm lately and said, here, let me, take a look? Do you want your palm red? Pull out a little red paint and slap, slap, slap. You know, I'm kidding. I would never do that. It's an old gag. But the truth is that our connection to the universe, whatever that is, and you can connect to the universe taking a walk. You can connect to the universe meditating, closing your eyes, holding a mala, running those beads one by one. Om Mani Padme Om, Om Mani Padme Om, Om Mani Padme Om, Om Mani Padme Om. That's all you have to do. You don't even have to know what it means. Hail to the jewel of the lotus. Look it up. It doesn't have to be a bodhisattva mala. It doesn't have to be rudraksha beads. It doesn't have to be fancy. It can be sandalwood. It can be anything. It can be pebbles. Or Bam Bam. Doesn't have to be anything special. You can even count on your fingers. Doesn't have to be 108. It's just you. It's just you doing what you do. You meditate, you watch TV, you can listen to music. Beethoven's Sixth. Boy, that's a good one. The Pastoral. It's a good one. You know, you have that starts out and wow. Then there's the storm. Wow. Then there's the ending. More wow. You know? It's all about you. How are you going to take care of yourself? Tomorrow is Samhain, solar Samhain. Okay? There's some of that today. Some of that today. I can feel it today. Snowing. It's probably snowed. I don't know how much it snowed. It's probably snowed close to a foot since yesterday. Not all of that is stuck. But it's pretty deep out back in my yard where I've had to trudge. I'm not going to say dread because it's a labor of love. Don't be despondent. Don't be dreary, weary. Don't. Things are too good, okay? We're alive. Don't think dark thoughts. You've really no need to do so. I'm telling you. We'll see what happens. I mean, I have a thought that goes through my head that this is going to be a fascinating state of affairs. That things are going to really, really unfold in remarkable ways that will be quite stimulating in many ways. And we are going to discover intriguing things. Yes. We'll see. It's all about you now. I mean, it's been such a long year, and for me, not a great one. You know, it's been a tough year. Maybe you've had a tough year too. Most people I know have had a tough year. So we've only got about a month and a half of this year left. And, well, actually about a month and 3 weeks. Almost four, I guess. I don't know. And then we get to start a new year, and it's not like time is that precise. But I'm ready for this year to kind of wrap itself up. I wish time were that succinct, like a time clock. Okay, cha-ching. All right, 25 starts. We just start everything over again. Last year is over. All the energy that was with it is, you know, kaput. But it's not like that. But I will tell you something. Your life is for you to live. And it's a good one. I like to study handwriting. Not like graphology, but my own, just to see if I can improve it, make it better, you know, make it something that I like to look at. I like to study shorthand. I've studied many different types and forgotten all of them except for one. There's lots I like to study. Find something that enthralls you. Something that you can become obsessive about. Design your own tarot deck, or design your own oracle deck. 36 cards. It's a good, nice number. You know? Study the Lenormand deck. It's a fun deck. Give the cards your own meaning. Forget about what all the other books say and stuff. Take a look at a card. See? Take a look. There's a ring. What does the ring mean? It's not a wedding ring. It's just a ring. So what does the ring mean to you? Does it mean it's like a ring of joining something? Well, what does that ring mean? I love doing that. I love giving meanings to cards by what they mean to me. For example, my Four of Clubs in my Oracle deck. I show two guys surveilling something, right? I have them holding binoculars and the Four of Clubs. Each binocular lens has a club in it. They're watching someone. So the Four of Clubs to me is about being observed. Someone's watching you. Someone's taking, you know, or you're watching someone. So it has that image to it. See? That's just how I felt about it. Right? It's something that I think is very interesting to do. My Six of Clubs is Santa Claus standing next to his sleigh, and there's a cross made out of the Six of Clubs. And he's looking at it like, well, what is this? And it's this question of Santa Claus or a cross with Christmas. Is it a religious holiday or is it a person, you know, is it a secular holiday? And I think that's a, you know, so it's like, it's a dilemma. So it's just, it's a dilemma. And I like doing that. I like putting those questions into the card. So when I'm using a regular deck, I have that image in my mind. So I turn over the Six of Clubs and I know that there's someone is having a dilemma. Do that. Come up with these ideas in yourself with the cards. I think there's a fascinating thing to do there. I love doing that. And you just come up with the ideas. You let the idea come to you. There's something very valuable in that. Because you create it. And you let the cards just talk to you. That's how I come up with these things. You know? And maybe I should put it out, refine the drawings, you know. I haven't done much in that commercial aspect in a long time. I created what's called a Kipper deck. It's a psychedelic Kipper deck. And it's pretty wild, very bright. But it works. It works real well. If you don't know the Kipper deck, you should look it up. It's a fascinating concept. And they work. They work real well. It's kind of a moving oracle. But maybe I'll talk about that sometime on its own. I think I will someday. But it's this, when you invest in yourself, you are investing in your health, your state of mind, your mental strength. And the real world can't really touch you much. My first marriage was not a great one, to be quite honest. I was not very happy. I mean, I loved my kids. Oh, the greatest thing I ever did in my life, the greatest joy I had was raising my children. What a joy that was. But there were a lot of unhappy things in my life, as many of us have had in relationships that just weren't right. But make no mistake, I pursued my ex-wife, and God bless her, you know. I mean, I was persistent, put it that way. But I was very young when I met her. That's what happens, you know. And so I spent an awful lot of time studying what we call the occult or the mysteries and, you know, all Tarot and the Tree of Life and Hermeticism and all that stuff. And that stuff was able to completely, it really does help to make you very strong in what you do. I can't suggest it enough. Find something. Find something that really gets you. You know, maybe it's cooking for you. Maybe it's cooking. Maybe it's sewing, knitting. I love to knit. I haven't knitted in years, but boy, I got bitten hard. As a matter of fact, I did that during that time. After the first Trump election, I started knitting and crocheting. And I was a fiend for knitting and crocheting. And I knitted bags and, knot tying as well, sailor's knots. Really fancy stuff, you know. Turks' heads and things like that. But those are the types of things. You invest in yourself. Now I've got some arthritis going. When you tie knots, boy, you just can't. Whew. Maybe I'll get into finishing my carvings, wood carvings that I started. You invest in yourself, and you simply can't go wrong. I'm telling you that. because it really does take you away from the noise. Don't be afraid to not be afraid, okay? Don't be afraid to say, it's going to work out. It'll be fine. Don't be afraid to say this is not 1938 Germany, okay? It's not that. There are too many cell phones, too many pictures. I don't think it can happen that way again. I know you're saying, well, let's just wait and see. Let's just wait and see. But there's a different vibe. We'll have to wait and see. I'm just saying, fear is a weakness. Preparedness is good, but fear is just the wrong attitude. We have to be alert, but we also have to be kind of cool. Stay cool. You know, carry on, as the Brits used to say. I don't think it's going to be that dire. But there are people who are trying to take our rights away. So we have to just say, nope, not going to play that game. And we have to be strong. And strength comes from within. And strength comes from knowing who we are. And strength comes from being a community. And we are a community. We're a strong community. A very strong community. Powerful. We always have been. There are those who would like us not to be around. We who look at cards and charts and hear voices that tell us what to do. So we have to be sure that we just know who we are and that we don't shy away from that. Intolerance is a terrible thing. Intolerance is a horrible thing. It just seems to me that a majority of people have said that they are more intolerant than tolerant. And I just think to myself, okay, fine. Now I know that. Because 4 years ago, he didn't win because the tolerant people won. But this time, because it was a woman, who was black, born of immigrant parents, didn't pass. So that tells me something. I just think, you know what? So we need to be strong, and we need to know ourselves, and we need to take care of ourselves. So we just need to be kind of aware and just say, okay, it's up to us to be us. That's all. So it's saying, yes, we just need to be us, but at the same time, we need to be kind of aware. So I've kind of gone full circle, which is silly. But I think that's being realistic, too. So yeah, I'm a little burned up. But at the same time, I'm being realistic. But we're going to be fine. And I maintain that, and I believe that. We just have to be us. That's all. Okay? Okay. And I did miscall it. I still say I looked at those charts just today, and I thought, no, I looked at them again and thought, okay, I'd make the same call. So, that's interesting. Yeah, like I said, if you're an astrologer, take a look at them. It's just one of those things. Relax, smile, laugh, watch a Marx Brothers movie, do something, have fun. It's funny. My wife turned on QVC this morning. They were selling food, lots and lots of food. And I thought, I'll bet they made a fortune. All right. Well, until next week. And it'll be lighter next week. Make no mistake. Have a good week, will you? Have a good week. I wish you all peace and love. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.